Hello, and welcome to this podcast from Consider This. Please let me know what you think and tell others about us on social media. This podcast was originally broadcast live on Northumberland 89.7 FM. You can hear this show live every Friday at noon. Thank you for downloading this program, and I hope you enjoy it.
Hello and welcome back. This is Consider This Northumberland, and I'm your host, Robert Washburn, and you're listening to Northumberland 89.7 FM. More than 30 years ago, just after I arrived at the Coburg Daily Star, I was assigned to interview Kim Rudd. She was a local daycare operator and the president of the Ontario Coalition for Better Child Care. The daycare was located in the bottom of Victoria Hall on University Avenue at the top of College Street. Most of the building was empty, and it was long before it was a retirement residence. It would be the first of many, many interviews done over the years on a huge range of topics. What you're about to hear is the last formal interview she did with me just after announcing she was being treated for ovarian cancer. I'm so pleased to have with me today Kim Rudd, the former Liberal MP for Northumberland Peterborough South. Welcome to Consider This.
Thanks, Rob. It's a pleasure. It's been a while. COVID has hampered our talks and our communication. I missed that interaction.
People may have heard that you have decided not to run in the next federal election. Could you talk about why you stepped away from politics?
Sure. So first of all, let me just say how much I loved being the Member of Parliament for Northumberland Peterborough South. I gave it everything I had. Sometimes it, and my family did as well. I feel that they were always part of that journey. And I'm very proud of what we were able to accomplish. When I see some of the announcements happening over the past 18 months, you know, my fingerprints on them. And I think it was the retiring head of the Port Hope Recreation. I can't remember his name. And there's a big announcement with Catherine McKenna and David Puccini. And he said, you just basically have to know that Kim's the one who did this. And so that makes you feel good. It makes people recognize the work that you've put in. I miss the interaction, but I think we all do, given COVID. And so I will miss that. I hope we'll be able to get out this summer and do more of that. I sort of got blindsided in January of 2020, at the end of January in 2020, because while I'd had symptoms of ovarian cancer, I really didn't, that's a trouble. They call this the silent killer for a reason, because you can have all the symptoms, but you can explain them away. And I certainly could. I was so busy during the election. Then I lost the election. I was moving back from Ottawa. All of those things, Christmas, all that entails. So I was sort of not paying as much attention, and or maybe I was paying attention, but I could, and I have something called IBS anyways, and it is all the symptoms of ovarian cancer are mimicked by IBS. So there really wasn't a correlation for me. But at the end of January, I started feeling something was really wrong. I was just uncomfortable. I was going to go on a diet. I gained weight. Well, what turns out, I found out that I'd had ovarian cancer. And so the response through the healthcare system was excellent. I had an appointment right away. I was the last day of surgery at Lake Ridge in Oshawa before COVID, March 18th. They shut it down after that. So I felt myself very, very lucky, because the symptoms I was having up until that surgery were debilitating. Like, I've never experienced anything like that. And I couldn't eat, I couldn't walk, so the surgery to me, I've never had surgery before other than what you would have as a, colonoscopy or those kind of things. And my daughter-in-law, who was with me the day I went in, and we're sitting there, in the cap and gown, and she said, "You look happy." I said, "Oh my God," I said, I can't live like this. So So then I went through that and chemotherapy and, you know, all the things that go with chemotherapy, you lose your hair. And, but I had almost no side effects. So I consider myself one of the very lucky ones. And so I was planning to run again because I'd had a checkup in December and everything was fine. You know, all the, everything was no reason why I can't. I have friends that have this disease that had were 13 years before recurrence. Some have never recurred. So I was running. And so I was in the process of doing all of that. And I started to feel weird again. And even though my numbers were good, and as you know, there's no test for ovarian cancer. But there's some blood work when you know you have it that they keep track of, the marker, but it's only about 60% accurate. My marker was still okay, but I had these symptoms. And so scan, and so by February, middle of February, it wasn't happening. I decided, it was a decision I had to go back into more treatment. I'm looking at a couple of clinical trials at Princess Margaret. I have a doctor at Princess Margaret now. I'm on one called the BioDiva, and it's more of a research project. And what's really ironic is when I was on the finance committee, I was my daughter's best friend, Rihanna Bassinger, and I can say this because she's very open about this. She was in her 20s when she was discovered with this, and she was kind of a champion. And they came on the Hill, and they never had research. They had money. They had something called the Lady Balls campaign, which I thought was quite intriguing. And because it has no profile, like breast cancer or in terms of women's health. So I took it on, and you know, I worked with all across the aisle, the finance minister. I chat with the finance minister, the prime minister, about how important this was. And the next thing you know, it got in the budget, and they got $10 million over 5 years for research. And what's really ironic is that BioDiva study is part of that money. So who knew? And it may or may not help me now, but the data they get is part of, you know, as they work towards a test and, you know, maybe ultimately a cure, but certainly better treatment. So when all this was happening, I made the decision with my family that it, you know, I feel great. I'm working basically full time. We're in the process of packing up our house. We accidentally sold it to friends of our daughters, and not accidentally, but it sort of wasn't anything we were really planning, but timing is everything, and it's a good time. So could I have run again? Sure, I could have. No different than people go through, you know, various cancers that they have to, or if you had, kidney dialysis that you have to be on. It's similar to that. But we made the decision it didn't make sense. And so I informed the party and the prime minister that I wasn't going to run. So obviously, they were disappointed, which of course always makes you feel good, but completely understand, of course. And so here we are, and I'm helping with new candidates, with new, especially female candidates. I'm working with Ali Lester. I'm helping Nicole Beattie on her nomination campaign. So yeah, it's not going away for me.
We'll talk about those things in a little bit, but I'd like to look back just as well and ask you, how have family and friends reacted to you during this period of your diagnosis and your treatment?
Oh, well, you can't do it without rocks, and they have been my rock. And this is where I get a little emotional. That's fine. It's good for people to know that there's a human side to all of this technology and technical discussion about what this means. But you know, it's COVID has made it different because you have no support when you go in the hospital, right? So I was in ICU for a couple of days because I had heart episode. My heart went into arrhythmia. And so I was in ICU for a couple of days, and my daughter-in-law was there with me that night. I think Tom came the next day, and Stephanie came, and she had to leave at noon because they were kicking everybody out of the hospital. So she was able to bring a bag that was in the car into me, and I never saw another soul for 9 days that I knew. And I'm okay. I'm reasonably competent to do these things. Not everyone is. And then when you're going through, you get the news about what it's really like, and then you're in chemotherapy. My daughter-in-law and my husband were on FaceTime with me and the doctor, because as you're listening to it, you can't absorb it all. You think you get it until you get home and they say, okay, well, what about, I don't remember. So that was key for me. You know, it certainly hasn't been fun, but it hasn't been bad. It hasn't been all bad. I can think of more, you know, what they're saying on the front porch, sort of watching the birds in the spring last year after surgery, and just taking some time to sit there and have a conversation with someone who came by. I'm very lucky.
Sounds more like a community than anything else.
Good point. It is. I think, yeah, that's a really good point. And you know, the doctors and nurses and folks that have come by, through this process, have been outstanding. I have nothing but good things to say. So they're the technical folks, but the reality of sort of, you know, going to bed and then all of a sudden feel, oh, I didn't feel that yesterday. And what is that? That's the mental stuff that I did do a bit of counseling, very small amount, because then COVID hit. And I just felt that I had enough outlets in my life that I was dealing with it. And there may come a time when I need to do that again, and I will. Because sometimes you just need to talk to people that aren't family or aren't close to you to sort of lay it out there. But yeah, community is probably a very good word, Rob. And there has been someone that we all know with a fairly high profile who reached out to my daughter last weekend and said, I know your mom through, you know, politics and work kind of thing, but my mom's been diagnosed. And she doesn't know anything, and she's struggling with having to go back into treatment. And your mom seems to be doing so well. Would you mind, do you think, talking to her? And so I said, of course, and I will. And the connection hasn't been made yet, but I'm happy to do that. So, yeah, the community gets bigger.
You are a very well-known public figure, and you have been for decades. You were a leader in advocacy movement for daycare through to being a respected businesswoman. Your activism and activities in the community are well-known. In respect to this aspect of your life, could you describe how it is different now that you are moving out of the spotlight?
Well, that's a really interesting question, because while I may not be in the spotlight, I still seem to be in the thick of things. And over the past year and a half, COVID, we're not seeing people, et cetera, et cetera. I have been helping. There have been organizations in this riding that have come to me and said, I need some help. I don't understand this. It doesn't seem to be, you know, I'm not getting any response. What can I do? And so I'm helping them. I've had municipalities, you want to know things about sort of what the process looks like and who they might get in touch with, et cetera, et cetera. And so I'm still doing a lot of that. And I'm working with, and because I'm doing consulting for the nuclear sector, I'm still really involved in the community, whether it's with Cameco or the municipality of Clarington, OPG, what have you. So there doesn't seem to have been much of a lag. While I don't have the office support in the team, which I valued a ton, and obviously I'm not doing it to the same level I was, I'm still doing it. So, and I'm, you know, as I said, I'm still involved in, you know, my daughter Stephanie is chair of a couple of fairly high profile boards in the community. And so when I can, I support her by, you know, taking care of Amira in the evening while she does her board meetings. And it may seem, you know, well, that's just looking after your granddaughter, but tonight it's 4 to 7 because she has a committee meeting and a board meeting and her husband's in meetings. And so I think I'm just kind of engaged in those organizations in a bit of a different way than I was before. And I don't anticipate, I've been asked to sit on boards. I've been asked to do a number of things. I am on the advisory board of Empire Aerospace, which is Boeing, which I'm enjoying immensely. I will start to get involved more in local organizations once COVID has sort of moved, you know, hopefully to the back burner, and see where I can put my skill set to use that makes the most sense in the community. So I don't intend to sort of, there will be a lower profile because I'm not the member of parliament, but I expect my profile on the community in terms of volunteerism and engagement will continue to be high. That's my hope.
I know mentoring is a big part of what you do, especially women who are activists or active in the community, along with women who are in politics. Why is this so important to you?
Oh, that's a really good question. Because I think it's a responsibility. I said at the outset here, I think when we were talking that, you know, along with great opportunities comes great responsibility. And maybe it's because I come from a long line of advocates, my mother and my grandmother. Maybe it's because I had people mentor me. They weren't women, but they were mentors. And I benefited greatly from that. And as I came up through, you know, I was talking to, I just did a panel with, I think it was Mary Monsef a couple months ago, International Women's Day, and a number of leaders from the community. We were talking and I said, you know, back in the early days of starting a business, you need your husband's signature for a bank account or to get a loan. Yes, things have changed, but there's still work to be done in terms of women and business and opportunities and sort of some parity. So I saw that happening as I was going through the process. You know, I would be sitting around a table and I was the only woman. Certainly still happens in the energy sector, I'll say, but that's changing. It's changing significantly. And so in order to get more women to a place where, there's more of us with more opportunity and more support, then I feel it's a responsibility I have. And I do enjoy doing it. And it's been successful. There are some business women that you would know that I have maybe had a little, you know, been able to offer a little bit of support to them. And it just makes you feel good to see that it's not just about them being successful. It's about the fact that, you know, we have 50% of the world is women and we have a lot to offer. And the more we can do to sort of unlock that potential is something that we absolutely have to do if we're going to be successful as an economy.
Alison Lester, the newly elected or selected Liberal candidate for Northumberland Peterborough South. Can you tell us about your relationship with her and the mentorship that's going on there?
Sure. Well, it's funny. Turns out Alison and I had a connection over 3 decades ago, but she forgot about it. She was pretty young. She and her brother actually came to Cook's daycare. How funny is that? This happens to me all the time. And that's why I'm saying I don't think my profile will ever go down. It's like generational now. And so Alison, about 2.5 years ago, it was before the 2019 election, we were talking. Because, you know, Allison's a businesswoman in town, she's a lawyer, she's a mom, she's involved in boards of directors. And I remember her inviting me a few years ago, this is going back about 4 years ago, maybe. She was chair of the West Bend board, you know, in Trent Hills, inviting me to a fundraising luncheon they were having up in Warkworth. And so we had a connection for sure. And she's my daughter's age, and they had a connection through lawyer, you know, to lawyer, I guess, same profession. So we were somewhere socially, and might have been in the hospital gown. And she said to me, you know, Kim, if you ever decide not to run, it's something I kind of thought about, and I'd like to know your thoughts and, you know, sort of what it's like and what you think. But like, I'm no intention running against you. She says, I just want to know, you know, what you think. And so we had a conversation, couple weeks later or so. And so her husband, Todd, she talked to Todd and what have you. And she said, you know, I think maybe when the time comes, it's something I'm going to consider. I said, great. And so tell me what you need. And so we talked, and we would have conversations from time to time, and she would ask questions, and she got involved. And one of the things I said to her, your family will be so important, because this is an all-in job. If you do it right, let me be clear, if you do it right. And so that was the conversation. So after the 2019 election, I told her I was considering it. I thought I was probably running to hold that thought, kind of thing. And then she knew about my health issue, and we talked, and I told her, you know, all my scans, everything was good. So in January, I said, I'm going to run. That's my plan. Well, then 6 weeks later or less, I wasn't. And so I reached out to Allison, and I said, it's open, because I'm submitting my nomination papers. You know, I'm just doing the last sort of dotting of I and crossing of T. So if something you're serious about, you should get them in. She did, like 24-hour turnaround, something like that. It was short. That she put them in, like got them and did them. And it's not easy. It was much easier as a former MP, but as a newbie, it's a lot of work to get done. But somehow she turned it around, and it might have been 48 hours, very short time. And so it kind of gave me a bit of a relief. I didn't know what else was going to happen, you know, if other people would do it or sort of, but that was the party's decision, not mine. I sort of, you know, and because of the threat of a constant threat of an election going on the budget, the party closed the nominations, and Allison went through the vetting process, very similar to what I did back in originally. Here we are. She's now the candidate for Northumberland PBSF, and I couldn't be more thrilled.
What's the best advice you'd give her?
Well, I've already given her some pretty good advice, and others have as well. I think the best advice, and I say this, and it's kind of hard to explain. This sounds terrible. And I don't mean, I guess until you've lived it, it's hard to explain. And it's as a woman. I don't know if you ever heard this happening to a man, but it's happened to Catherine McKenna. It's happened to a number of women. And I think part of what fuels that is the acceptance of vitriol. And it's not, people can say negative things, but you have to say insulting things and name calling. And I have no patience. So my best advice to Allison and her family, because it's family. It's not me. It's my husband. It's my kids. It's my son-in-law that see these comments, and they just want to answer back. And I said, nope, and let it go. Understand where it came from and let it go. And so that's my best advice to Allison. It is going to be out there. It's ugly. It's depressing, because that's a side of our humanity that, in my opinion, is not our best. And but you have to let it go. You have to understand the place from where it's coming from people who are not interested in running themselves or any kind of research. Just vitriol and nastiness. So that's probably the best piece of advice I can give her. The rest will just come as it does.
Kimrod, I want to thank you so much for talking to me today.
Thank you, Rob.
That was Kimrod, former MP for Northumberland Peterborough South, mother, wife, entrepreneur, volunteer, and a friend to many. I want to thank my guests this week for talking to me, and I want to thank all the listeners for tuning in today. Please join me again next week when we will talk to the people on the front lines and those behind the scenes who make a difference in your life and Northumberland County. So please tune in. If you would like to listen or share this or any podcast, please check out my website at consider-this.ca. There you will find past podcasts, news, and other information about life and politics in Northumberland County. Or you can go to the radio station's website at northumberland897.ca. I'm Robert Washburn. Thanks for taking time out of your day to listen in, and I hope over the week you will continue to consider this. Thank you for listening to this podcast from Consider This. If you have any comments or would like to suggest a story, please contact me at considerthisnorthumberland@gmail.com, or you can message me on Facebook at Consider This. If you enjoyed this podcast or are looking for more news and information about Northumberland County, please check out my website at consider-this.ca. That's consider-this.ca. And don't forget to share. And again, thank you for listening, and stay tuned for more from Consider This.